From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Dylan the Tennessee Pal Fagan. Most importantly, you are you. You are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. If you are listening to our strange news program the evening it comes out, welcome to Monday, November 11th. We have a lot of strange news to get to tonight. Thought maybe we could start with a little bit of good news for our cold open. Did you guys remember our earlier brief conversation about the mystery song that was played in Germany?
I do not recall.
All right. So decades ago, a German teen recorded a song that they heard on a radio, right? You know how listeners of a certain age might have a cassette tape that you use to record radio broadcast live. This has become the most mysterious song on the internet, and it was finally solved quite recently by a couple of intrepid researchers on Reddit. The name of the song, to spoil it, is Subways of the Mind by a band named FEX. I don't know if you guys, just real quick for a cold open, if you guys are okay with it, can we play a brief clip of this song? I want to see if it's familiar.
Absolutely.
That's just the opening part. Quick question. Does that sound familiar to either of you guys?
Nope.
Is it a U2 song?
It does sound vaguely late 80s, kind of new wave-ish. Well, I don't remember the context of this. Where were people hearing this? What's the mystery, and why should people care?
Yes, people care because people like mysteries, and we care because we like good news and we like mysteries being solved. This first came into the zeitgeist in 2004. Internet user Darius S. recorded this from a radio broadcast in Germany and posted it on a website that tracks down mysterious songs. And people have been looking for it forever. It went viral again in 2019 when I think a kid in Brazil uploaded the song to YouTube, and everybody was trying to figure out where the song came from. We do know it was a band named FEX. The song is called Subways of the Mind, and one of the members of the band, Michael Hodrick, who is 68 years old now, released the song, confirmed the identity. So one mystery solved, a little bit of good news.
Oh, hooray.
Can you imagine having some song that you recorded with a band like 20-something years ago, maybe even more, and it gets resurfaced, and they're like, who is this? It's amazing. And it's just something you did in your basement.
It was me. Or maybe it was just like a non-hit. I mean, it sounds professional. It sounds like, you know, like I said, like mid late 80s kind of stuff. But what's the country of origin of this band?
The country of origin is Germany.
Oh, there you go. It sounds 100%. And the name FEX, it's very kind of krautrock vibes. But that's so funny. I mean, you know, there's a million songs that probably were like micro hits or underground hits in other countries that most of the world is just blissfully unaware of. And so I don't know. It's interesting that it became such a thing, because I'm sure we could find any number of examples of this.
So this time of all times, we wanted to start off strange news with a bit of good news. We're going to get to a lot more less happy solved mysteries. There's a mystery in Oklahoma. There is a bit of hard justice on the part of one of Northern Europe's favorite furniture manufacturers. But before we do any of that, we're going to pause for a word from our sponsors on our cold open. And when we return, we're going to talk squirrels.
Hey, it's me, Tyler. Bose open earbuds are stylish. The color, the way it looks almost like an earring, you know? So I feel like it could go with anything. My style is very fun. I feel like I always look like I'm on holiday. I just really like playing around with it and tying it to the music. So yeah, I really feel like the music I'm making right now feels like a holiday. So I want to look like it too. Check out Bose.com for more.
Can Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, help if I have chronic migraine? 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more?
Botox prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. It's the number one prescribed branded chronic migraine treatment.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
With the United Explorer card, earn 50,000 bonus miles, then head for places unseen and destinations unknown.
Wherever your journey takes you, you'll enjoy remarkable rewards, including a free checked bag and 2x the miles on every United purchase.
You'll also receive 2x the miles on dining and at hotels, so every experience is even more rewarding.
Plus, when you fly United, you can look forward to United Club access with 2 United Club one-time passes per year.
Become a United Explorer card member today and take off on more trips so you can take in once-in-a-lifetime experiences everywhere you travel.
Visit theexplorercard.com to apply today. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Subject to credit approval. Offer subject to change. Terms apply.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast, and our families took an amazing trip this year to the Georgia coast. We stayed at this incredible Airbnb. We were splitting the cost after all, so we could splurge a bit. The house, it was a big part of how memorable that trip was. And that's what I loved doing for my guests when I was an Airbnb host as well.
Yeah, you're good at it too, man.
Well, thank you.
And now being a host is easier than ever with co-hosts. You can access a network of high-quality local co-hosts who can help you get your home ready for guests. Find a co-host at airbnb.com/host.
Does money stress you out? Let Facet flip your financial chaos into clarity.
Finding Facet immediately put us at ease.
Facet's innovative approach to financial planning ensures your money works as hard as you do, enabling members to experience the joys of having your finances in order.
And that makes us Facet for life now, I guess.
Visit Facet.com, F-A-C-E-T.com to learn more.
This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice. These testimonials are from current Facet members who are not compensated. All opinions are their own and not a guarantee of a similar outcome.
And we have returned with today's first piece of strange news. And along with it, before we get into it, I would like to put forth a theory, guys. I think that a viral internet squirrel may have swayed the presidential election here in the United States. You guys know about Peanut?
You know, I've heard the name and I've seen it in headlines for a couple of days now. I have no idea who this person, character,
well, yeah,
creature.
I don't know. The squirrel doesn't necessarily have personhood, as is evidenced by the way the government treated it. But he does have a person, a quite beefy fellow, often shirtless, by the name of Mark Longo, who resides in a beautiful countryside part of, I believe, upstate New York called Pine City. It is, in fact, y'all, against the laws of New York State to possess or to keep, to have as a pet, what would be considered a wild animal like a squirrel. Peanut the squirrel was rescued several years back when Mark witnessed its mother being hit by a vehicle, and the tiny squirrel, known as a kit, by the way, didn't know that. That's a thing I learned from a really great article on Vox by Alex Abad Santos, leaving little Peanut, who was nameless at the time, for dead. I believe with a piece of his little tail severed by the accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know, it's sad. So Mark, who has a passion for muscles and tattoos and animals, scooped up the little guy and brought him home and nursed him back to health and kept him indoors in his home, which is quite a sizable piece of property. It's referred to in a lot of the reporting as a farm there in Pine City, New York. But the big part of the story, there's a couple, this is sort of a multi-pronged story, is that the New York Department of Environmental Conservation conducted a raid on Longo's property there in Pine City, New York, because of reports that Longo was keeping wild animals as pets. In this particular case, the wild animals in question are Peanut the squirrel and Fred the raccoon. Fred the raccoon did not, however, play into the election results, I would argue. In conducting this raid, officers involved were told basically that there was a potentially dangerous wild animal or animals on the property. A big issue here is the potential for rabies. During the course of executing this, I guess, search warrant or raid or what have you, Peanut the squirrel did bite one of the officers, which I don't know if it was that or if this was their intention the whole time, but let's just say for the purposes of telling a story, led to the officers taking Peanut and Fred away from the property. And unfortunately, I'm not quite sure about, I believe that this is also the case with Fred, they were euthanized. Both of these animals were euthanized. Peanut had, in the course of his time with Mark, amassed hundreds of thousands of internet followers. Had an account all his own, where he would be seen doing fun stuff with his you know, person Mark, while Mark was often shirtless or perhaps wearing a little bit risque outfits or in certain poses. And apparently, you know, everyone loves a good Instagram or social media account devoted to a pet. But it would seem that the owner was also part of the draw of this particular account because it was often them hanging out together. And an interesting twist on this is that Mark Longo kind of parlayed the success of this Instagram account with Peanut the squirrel into an equally, if not more successful account and a much more lucrative OnlyFans account going by the name Squirrel Daddy. Mark Longo and I believe and his wife, filmed and uploaded and served to their subscribers videos of them, having sex together. I sound like an old man. Doing sex acts with one another, which of course is completely legal and absolutely within, their rights to do, and has become a significant source of income for folks that do this. And obviously there are some people who have a problem with this. I am certainly not one of them. It is important to note
the squirrel was not involved.
Thank you, Matt. I was about to say it is important to note that the squirrel had nothing to do with any of these videos. The squirrel specifically was only featured on the Peanut the Squirrel Instagram account. And just really quickly, just to give you a sense of scale of Peanut's popularity, 720,000 Instagram followers as P-Nut, like sort of like the bass player for 311. You might
wonder. Just interject. Yeah, I only know about, to your earlier question you asked, I only know about Peanut because of the Instagram account, which I found endearing. And in Longo's defense, Noel, I am under the impression that he released the animal, he released Peanut into his backyard and did the right thing, tried to find a shelter. Peanut returned, which launches the saga.
Absolutely, Ben. That's entirely true. He did make every effort beyond what you're even describing to seek out an animal shelter or refuge that would take Peanut the squirrel. But when none could be found who would take Peanut in, he decided to take care of him himself. And he, did feature him on this Instagram account. They're often posing together, doing fun, cute things. And he also was able to parlay his success on the OnlyFans account into starting an animal refuge of his own. You know, when he found that there was no room at the inn for Peanut the Squirrel and Fred the Raccoon, he decided to take it upon himself and use some of his funds that he was receiving from all this internet stuff and open his own shelter, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's incredible.
The Peanuts Freedom Farm Animal Sanctuary. I think it's a noble pursuit.
It's a noble pursuit and an amazing name. And when the news came out that Peanut the Squirrel had been taken, it was not initially released that he had been euthanized. There was quite a stir created on the internet, and a lot of people banded together and started a GoFundMe with the express purpose of collecting money that Longo could use if he needed to pay for legal defense to defend himself. And this is a statement from the DEC. On October 30th, DEC seized a raccoon and squirrel sharing a residence with humans, creating the potential for human exposure to rabies. In addition, a person involved with the investigation was bitten by the squirrel to test for rabies. Both animals were euthanized. And there's a pretty telling quote from the Vox article that I mentioned, where the author, Alex Abad Santos, references something that one of his colleagues said, a colleague by the name of Karen Landrin, who's an MD with training as a physician and epidemiologist. She pointed out that it seems like the DEC may have overstepped a little bit or taken measures that were not necessary. She described them as over aggressive. I'll just read from the quote from the piece. Longo had been raising Peanut in his home for over 7 years. If the squirrel were acting rabid, he would have had a short lifespan. The animal was also captive, she pointed out, and could have had his blood tested without being killed. Quoting an interview from the New York Post with Longo himself, he refers to the raid like this. They treated me like I was a terrorist. They treated this raid like I was a drug dealer. The raid apparently went on for upwards of 4 hours, close to 5 hours is what's being described. And it seems like they turned his house over and were pretty aggressive. So the question becomes, it's just kind of twofold. We'll get to the little political twist at the end. But who ratted out Longo? Who had it in for Peanut the Squirrel?
It's interesting, too, and I'm glad that you're starting with that one, because we could say, for many of us in the audience this evening, you probably know someone who has, for some reason, taken in a non-domesticated animal, right? Perhaps a corvid, perhaps a raccoon, perhaps a squirrel. Yeah,
exactly.
I would posit, and correct me if I'm speaking out of school here, I would posit at least part of this is due to the phenomenal success of the account on social media, by which I mean the squirrel's account, not the OnlyFans account.
That is exactly right, Ben, and that's what Longo himself seems to believe. There's a New York Post. He did a couple of interviews with the New York Post, which will come into play in a little bit when we talk briefly about this political twist that I keep referencing. He had this to say, maybe it's someone who thinks I use this place to make a lot of money, Mark said of his rescue farm. Did this do wonders to my OnlyFans? Absolutely. It's making a lot of money from this. So he seems to believe that there were forces within the New York City government that had a problem with what he was doing. He says, I had my own kind of Squirrel Dad account, my own Instagram. I just tag my Squirrel Dad account from the Peanut video I posted, so it gets double the clip views. Every once in a while, a shirtless photo, but I completely separated myself from the entire thing. Obviously, people were going to find both and try to associate them. Whether or not it's somebody within the New York City government or it's just a prudish neighbor, apparently one thing that sort of tripped his spidey senses or his, you know, smell test when they arrived at his property, one of the first questions that was asked of him was, do you have any cameras on the property, which he believes was a reference to, you know, the adult material that he was filming there. He also mentioned that he and his wife sometimes babysit the neighbor's kids, and he wondered if someone felt as though he and his wife were exposing children to adult material, which I think it's, you know, I hope as a society we're past thinking that just because someone, you know, does sex work or someone, you know, does adult content or something like that, that they are somehow unfit to do normal human things, you know, like deal with children or like have children of their own. I just think that's a really outdated model. And certainly we know there are issues, there are problems with people who do take advantage of children. We know these cases exist, but I do not think they are, you know, one and the same. And so it does seem like maybe someone jumped to that conclusion and ratted him out. So I think that's a pretty valid theory. I mean, what do you guys think?
I don't know. I'm stuck on this concept that you, as a government organization, have to go in there and remove these wild animals, even though they're clearly domesticated, even though from, you know, babies they've been raised around humans.
Technically tamed.
You're right, tamed. Yeah, I mean, you're correct. But I guess, I mean, if it's been an environment with humans, it's used to being fed by humans and around right. humans, and it's not just running out in the woods all the time. There's a very low likelihood that it's been exposed to anything that would give it rabies. Absolutely. Right?
Well, also, the point that the Vox article made about how long he'd been keeping it and how, you know, if it had rabies, it probably would have died already.
Yeah. Well, and if you go into a house during a raid situation, you are risking... It doesn't matter how domesticated any animal is. If there's a bunch of people that are kind of big and scary and look scary coming into a house, you risk getting bitten by whatever creature.
Sure.
Longo himself actually said he had been bitten multiple times by peanuts. You know, I'm not certainly not from being. I mean, the guy is a little big. He ain't scary, though. He seems like a lovely dude. But it happens. Squirrels, no matter how much you domesticate them or, as you put it, been tame them, you can't always get all of that wild out of them. So there's going to be a little nip every now and then. I mean, it happens with my cats.
Yeah, well, then I guess it's on the human being that's keeping that animal to decide. And it seems as though Longo made those decisions, Ben, as you pointed out, right? And those attempts to do the right thing. Oh, it's just weird. It seems like an unnecessary situation.
Definitely a interesting expenditure of finite government resources.
Right.
To get this one person. And I'm not the kind of person who looks at people on Instagram. I'm much more affiliated with looking at policies, and then cute animals are kind of, I think, a way for many viewers to sort of disassociate. Peanut, by the way, I think was largely innocent in this whole debacle. But Noel, I'm sorry for derailing us to make us go a little long.
Not at all.
You said that you feel in this a political bent. Could you describe it for us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm joking. You know, obviously, we just experienced a pretty divisive election cycle here in the United States, whichever side of the aisle you happen to fall. But the individuals, you know, who were campaigning on the right side of the aisle did seem in the last days before the presidential election to kind of glom onto this whole peanut thing, peanut the squirrel, and use it as an example of government overreach. Like, you know, Elon Musk said at a rally type event that it was absurd that the government could come into your home and steal your pet and have it killed. Vice President to be vice presidential candidate at the time, J.D. Vance, said something very similar about how they killed Peanut the squirrel, kind of likening this government agency, you know, the DEC, to the Democratic Party. Which is an overreach in and of itself, I think we could all agree, but it's an interesting talking point. There was even rumor floating around and a fake, what was determined to be fake press release from the former president, Donald Trump himself, mentioning Peanut the squirrel. But then the Trump camp came out and said that that was fake, even though it did bear whatever, a logo kind of seal. Anyone can mock that up on Photoshop. So yeah, I'm, you know, obviously I'm joking a little bit when I say that Peanut the squirrel swayed the election, but it is interesting, especially given some of the rhetoric around, you know, migrants eating pets and stuff like that, that they would choose to go this route as a talking point. I couldn't help but find it a little amusing.
Dang. Well, no matter how you feel about the election, it doesn't matter who won. Because in the end, Lockheed Martin, RTX, Northrop Grumman, and Boeing are still in charge. Sorry, not really. Kind of.
I couldn't agree with you more, Matt. I have never had a particular fondness for either side of the political spectrum. I just think the whole thing is rigged. So let this be an opportunity to put that out right now. And I think Peanut the Squirrel should be an apolitical issue. Let's just remember Peanut the Squirrel as he lived, wearing a cute little cowboy hat and hanging around with a big old bear. So with that, let's take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll return with more strange news.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Joel, as you know, my father served in the military. He was in satellite communications, SATCOM. I'm not sure if that's what they still call it these days.
Sounds cool.
But when I think about him, truly, and the other veterans I know, I'm reminded of their quiet strength, their resilience. Those are some of the qualities they carry with them long after their service ends. Well, at Navy Federal Credit Union, every day is Veterans Day, and they are proud to have served the military community for over 90 years.
Veterans Day only highlights Navy Federal's everyday commitment, because Navy Federal serves more than 2 million veterans by providing the support they need to succeed financially. They offer members exclusive rates, discounts, and perks, and 45% of their employees are directly tied to the military. So Navy Federal understands the needs of the veterans they serve.
That's right. Navy Federal donates to not-for-profits focused on veterans, like The Mission Continues and Rebuilding Together. It's good to see an organization prioritize those who have served our country. And remember that active duty veterans and their families can join Navy Federal Credit Union. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/veterans. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Shop Dell Technologies' Black Friday event for their lowest prices of the year. The future is on sale today with limited time deals on select PCs like the XPS 16 that accelerate AI with Intel Core Ultra processors. Black Friday is their biggest sale of the year and the best time to upgrade, but it's only here for a limited time. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Looking for the perfect night's sleep? Brooklyn Bedding has you covered. With over 25 years in the mattress industry, Brooklyn Bedding combines top-tier comfort and quality without the hefty price tag. Every mattress is designed and assembled by master craftsmen, ensuring expert oversight. Plus, they have a factory in Arizona and ship conveniently to your front doorstep for free. Choose from a range of firmness levels, heights, and dimensions, including non-traditional sizes, to find the perfect mattress fit for your needs. And with a 120-night sleep trial on all mattresses, you can rest easy knowing you're making the right choice. Visit brooklynbedding.com to learn more and take advantage of their 25% off site-wide sale going on now.
Ever see those incredible yards on one of those home TV shows and think, there's no way my yard could look like that? Well, think again. Because at Purchase Green, they believe every yard has the potential to be stunning. Whether you're a daring DIYer or want a pro to do the job, your project is their priority. Plus, they have everything you need to get the job done with their ready-to-roll guarantee, meaning no wait on materials. Shop artificial turf for landscapes, playgrounds, pets, and putting greens. With prices starting at 99 cents per square foot, they'll have the product to match your budget. You can also get free sample kits online at purchasegreen.com or visit their local showroom and speak with an expert. Mention promo code PGFALL at the showroom and receive 10% off your order at participating locations. From the first roll to project completion, Purchase Green's commitment to hassle-free customer support will be on your side. Less work, more enjoyment. Get started today by visiting purchasegreen.com. Purchase Green, artificial grass. The grass is greener because we're on your side.
And we've returned. Guys, I've got two very specific stories. Before we get into those, let's go ahead and say, because I don't think we've mentioned this yet. We talked about the Boeing strikes in a couple of Strange News episodes where we just kind of mentioned it because it was one of the factors going into Boeing's woes at the time. But the machinist strike has officially ended, and there's a contract that has been accepted. So, yay. At least, I don't know. That's good news, right?
Yay for now.
Yay for now. The people who assemble the planes for Boeing are actually going to see some positive stuff in their life. And it's been mostly negative, especially if they ever picked up a newspaper or, you know, looked online, just the general rhetoric about the company they toil for. So that's a positive thing for a lot of human beings on the planet. And hopefully it means good things for Boeing in general and the planes that, you know, when we fly through the air, sometimes we get on those planes.
And if I could say just very quickly to interject, the machinist who are part of this contract back and forth, when you read those damaging headlines about Boeing or the news about things messing up, it's not really those machinists' fault. So Boeing is a big, big company. Please don't lump them in with the actual problems, which are indeed structural and systemic.
Absolutely. And that is the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Definitely not the same thing. We've talked about it on the show, but if you look past the headline in any of the articles written about Boeing's woes, it all has to do with manufactured parts that are generally manufactured in far-flung areas of the world and then sent in to one of the major Boeing facilities where they get assembled, right? It's not the same thing. Okay, here we go. First story. Guys, I did not know this was a thing until it landed on the Reddit R News page that I browse obsessively. I'm sure you guys do the same. I'm just going to read the headline. IKEA will pay 6 million euros to East German prisoners, what? Forced to build their furniture in a landmark move.
I'm sorry. I need more context, Jim. This is wild sounding.
Well, first of all, when's the last time you heard East Germany or anything East German mentioned in a news article outside of a piece on history, right? No. Outside of a piece on the Cold War.
I didn't even clock that detail, Matt.
Yeah. But so that, first of all, you go, what? And 6 million euros, that seems like a lot, not a crazy amount for a huge corporation like IKEA. But I mean, that's a significant amount of money. Prisoners, what are we talking about here? I guess we can just start by, I don't know, do you guys just want to give a quick overview on what East Germany was, how it became a thing, and then why there would be a lot of prisoners involved in that state?
I'm talking about like East and West Berlin, right? I mean, with the wall.
Yes.
And then one side being under Soviet control and the other side being German.
Correct. And in East Germany, there were a lot of issues. A lot of it had to do with the newly imposed government structure, the societal structure that existed on one side of that wall versus the other. And in the East German side, it was communist. That word is so strange, and it's been used and weaponized and manipulated so much, but it was the Soviet-controlled side of a split city and the country.
Yeah, just real quick, the name of that is the German Democratic Republic from 1949 to 1990, which means several of our fellow conspiracy realists listening tonight remember when the wall fell. And
maybe got a piece of it.
Yeah, some of us are lucky enough to have a little chunk of history in the form of debris from the Berlin Wall. To your point, Matt, the question about prison labor goes to the massive surveillance state that was active in that vassal organization, because the GDR was very much a puppet of the Soviet Union. And as a result, any dissent or suspected dissent, you got cracked down on, you got locked up. And just like here in the United States, when you get locked up, the labor laws don't really apply. So they'll put you to work.
It's fascinating, that whole part of the story with the Stasi, you know, like the secret police. And I was in Berlin a few years ago for the first time in my life, and with a dear friend, Frank, of the friend of the show. And we went to the Stasi Museum, which is actually housed in this compound in Berlin, which would have been East Berlin, where it actually, you know, functioned at the time. It's like an office park, and they kept a lot of the furniture the same. And you can look, it's really cool. If anyone's ever there, I highly recommend checking it out. But they demonstrate and have on display a lot of the crazy kind of tradecraft spy gear that they used.
And just one last point there too, to interject quickly, you can see the economic consequences of that Cold War divide even now. Like East Berlin and East Germany are still struggling with some things from that time, because history is way closer than it looks in the rearview mirror.
Oh, geez. Okay, so let's take these things and then connect them somehow to IKEA. So there were a lot of human beings that opposed that force, the Stasi, this overwhelming thing that is telling you what you can do, what you can say, what you can think, really.
Or not even opposed, just had things that were off message, and the Stasi found it out.
That's a really great way to put it. People who were just living their lives, and now this new machine is in and says, your life doesn't match up with our machine. Something's got to give. We're going to send you to prison, as you said there, Ben. You would literally go to prison for doing things, stuff that like we've heard of in, I was going to say in China and the DPRK, places where when you say things you're not really supposed to say out loud even, you could get in trouble to the point where you might wind up in a jail, a prison, or in a camp, essentially, that is for manufacturing, like literally a factory, a prison factory. So that's all occurring. And this is 1949 to 1990. So one of the things that the government over East Germany realized is that we've got all these prisoners. We can use their bodies literally as a machine to create stuff, to manufacture goods. And they made a lot of things. Think in your mind to maybe news stories you've heard growing up about places. Like places all over the country, like India, China, Taiwan, Malaysia, countries where there is access to relatively cheap labor compared to other countries in the world. Manufacturers, big corporations across the world look to places like that to have parts manufactured and then have those parts shipped over to other factories where they're assembled, just like in the Boeing thing we were talking about, because you can get those individual parts often for much less money, right? At the cost of human lives, really. Your product gets to be cheaper. And that is exactly what East Germany realized they could do with their prison population. And corporations, big companies across the world, not just IKEA, realized that they could have stuff manufactured on the cheap in these prisons, and they would make gangbusters with the MSRP.
But Matt, I think I might have a question that some of our listeners might be having as well. Don't we assemble IKEA furniture ourselves at home once we buy it?
Yes, but what... Well, that is absolutely correct. You, as the end user of much of IKEA's furniture and goods, assemble them. But the individual slats on a bed you buy from IKEA have to be produced specifically to order, right? The smaller pieces of metal and other pieces of wood and plastic and all those things have to be assembled somewhere in a factory. Those were the things, the smaller things that were being assembled by prisoner labor. So it was a known thing that prison labor was used in a lot of these different companies. But other companies, you know, especially like IKEA that has a long history, some of them didn't even necessarily realize that this had been occurring. And that's whether or not you believe, you know, the official statements of giant corporations. But IKEA especially said they were unaware of this until they were notified, and then they had Ernst & Young do a full audit of their company, a full investigation, and they found that as recently as the 1970s and 80s, prisoners were producing furniture for IKEA.
And that investigation only began in 2012, correct?
Correct. Very recently. Well, fairly recently. And only now, after all of this investigation, is IKEA saying, hey, we're willing to compensate victims of this practice.
But is there, I mean, maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree here, but in the United States, while it's not particularly a good PR look for a corporation to be found to be using prison labor, it's not illegal. So is the law, I don't understand what is
creating this need to compensate. It just seems more like a PR debacle. But like we hear all the time about prison labor being used for private industry here in America.
Well, it's not about it being illegal. Mm-hmm. At least if you listen to, you know, folks from IKEA who are representing the company who are talking about this, and folks from the Union of Victims Associations of Communist Dictatorship, or the UOGK, which has also been, it's been quoted as something else in other places. That's according to CNN.
Yeah, if you go to European sources or UK sources, because they're different now, apparently, you will see it also referred to as the Union of Victims Associations of Communist Tyranny.
Got you. Oh, but the whole point is it's not illegal. It's like shame, right? Mm. It's like our company did something shameful. It's a PR
thing. IKEA is not legally compelled to donate this, what'd you say, Matt, 6 million euro?
6 million euros, exactly. It's towards a new government fund that's being established for compensation specifically for victims of East German dictatorship.
And I'm not meaning to completely belittle the company of IKEA by saying it's a PR move. I mean, there's more to it than that. I've always found IKEA, I mean, as far as corporations go, I don't have much bad to say about IKEA. I think they're pretty cool. I like going to IKEA. I like their products, and it does seem like they pay their employees well. And I've never really heard too much scuttlebutt about, you know, nastiness on the corporate level. So
the cafeteria slaps.
It slaps. The Swedish meatballs are so good.
You know, I still think the guy who lived in IKEA for a while is a ridiculous hero.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, man, for getting away with it. But also, you know, internal motivations aside, whether or not this is a PR stunt, it is still ethically a good thing to do.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I agree with you.
And let's actually look at the words officially from IKEA. This is from Walter Kadner, who's CEO and Chief Sustainability Officer at IKEA Germany. This is a quote. "We deeply regret that products for IKEA were also produced by political prisoners in the GDR. Since it has become known, IKEA has consistently worked to clarify the situation. We have given our word to those affected that we will participate in providing support. We therefore welcome the implementation of the hardship fund and are pleased to be able to keep our promise." Which is kind of cool.
I think it's really cool. As far as corporate acts go, you know what I mean? It does seem pretty relatively humanitarian. We made a mistake. We're going to make it right.
Yeah. And it is weird, too, because in those prisons, guys, it's not just, you know, political prisoners that opposed the thing. It's also people that likely should have been imprisoned because of crimes. So it's like it is, you know, it all becomes a very, you know, a complicated situation. The thing that we need to keep in mind and to think about for future episodes and maybe updates, guys, is that according to Rainer Wagner, who is the UOKG chairman, that's the organization that is, you know, looking into this stuff and trying to figure out which corporations were doing this. He says, this is just the tip of the iceberg. He's saying that there are a lot of other companies that benefited specifically from this prisoner labor, and others need to at least be thinking about it.
And let's also point out, folks, we are well aware. I don't think we did an episode on this or even a conversation in Strange News, but we are well, well aware that the founder of IKEA was an absolute genius at dodging taxes for a long, long time. And for a time, he was the eighth wealthiest person in the world so far as the public knew. So we're not saying IKEA is perfect. We're saying it appears they did the right thing in this instance. Is that fair to say, guys?
I think so. And I was just going to say, I mean, it, you know, by many metrics, the ability to figure out ways around paying more tax is considered, you know, good business. I'm not saying I agree with that, but that is certainly a perspective. And it's certainly not illegal unless it's done illegally, which is called tax fraud or tax evasion.
There we go. Guys, there's another story here that I wanted to talk about, but we don't have time. So, and guys, I think I saw a listener mail message come in about that. So why don't we save that for our listener mail episode?
I thought I saw a putty tat.
It has to do with some weird resignations. We'll get into it. For now, let's hear a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back with more Strange News.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
Joel, as you know, my father served in the military. He was in satellite communications, SATCOM. I'm not sure if that's what they still call it these days.
Sounds cool.
But when I think about him, truly, and the other veterans I know, I'm reminded of their quiet strength, their resilience. Those are some of the qualities they carry with them long after their service ends. Well, at Navy Federal Credit Union, every day is Veterans Day, and they are proud to have served the military community for over 90 years.
Veterans Day only highlights Navy Federal's everyday commitment, because Navy Federal serves more than 2 million veterans by providing the support they need to succeed financially. They offer members exclusive rates, discounts, and perks, and 45% of their employees are directly tied to the military. So Navy Federal understands the needs of the veterans they serve.
That's right. Navy Federal donates to not-for-profits focused on veterans, like The Mission Continues and Rebuilding Together. It's good to see an organization prioritize those who have served our country. And remember that active duty veterans and their families can join Navy Federal Credit Union. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/veterans. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA.
Shop Dell Technologies' Black Friday event for their lowest prices of the year. The future is on sale today with limited time deals on select PCs like the XPS 16 that accelerate AI with Intel Core Ultra processors. Black Friday is their biggest sale of the year and the best time to upgrade, but it's only here for a limited time. Shop now at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
See those incredible yards on one of those home TV shows and think, there's no way my yard could look like that. Well, think again, because at Purchase Grain, they believe every yard has the potential to be stunning. Whether you're a daring DIYer or want a pro to do the job, your project is their priority. Plus, they have everything you need to get the job done with their ready-to-roll guarantee, meaning no wait on materials. Shop artificial turf for landscapes, playgrounds, pets, and putting greens. With prices starting at 99 cents per square foot, they'll have the product to match your budget. You can also get free sample kits online at purchasegreen.com or visit their local showroom and speak with an expert. Mention promo code PGFALL at the showroom and receive 10% off your order at participating locations. From the first roll to project completion, Purchase Green's commitment to hassle-free customer support will be on your side. Less work, more enjoyment. Get started today by visiting purchasegreen.com. Purchase Green, artificial grass. The grass is greener because we're on your side.
When you walk through our doors, your world expands. Your adventure begins with a spectacle of bioluminescent light, a symphony of shorebird sounds, or a touch of wonder as you hold a hermit crab in your palm. Every moment is filled with the promise of discovery as you become an advocate for the ocean. Book your tickets today. Monterey Bay Aquarium, inspiring conservation of the ocean. Visit MontereyBayAquarium.org/together.
And we have returned for the final act of our weekly Strange News segment. Let's do a cavalcade of some good stories, some bad stories, some wild stories. Dare we call them strange? We were talking about this a little bit offline in a group chat that we engage in occasionally. The U.S. Department of Justice says they caught a guy who was going to use a, quote, weapon of mass destruction to destroy an energy facility in Nashville. This is Skylar.
Say what now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what Skyler said when they caught him.
Okay. Seriously?
Yes.
I love it. Yeah.
May as well, because we're looking at a situation that might not get as widely reported for a little while. There's a lot going on here in our neck of the global woods. A 24-year-old from Columbia, Tennessee, Skyler Phillippe, P-H-I-L-I-P-P-I, was arrested by the feds and charged with this attempt to use a drone laden with explosives to destroy an energy facility, basically a power plant out in the Nashville, Tennessee area.
We're calling that, they called that a weapon of mass destruction?
It was C4.
Oh, God. Or
actually, the way it's reported by the DOJ is this kid believed it was C4 because the C4, or the purported C4, was supplied by the federal government itself.
Oh, it's just like an M80 inside some clay.
By undercover agents. Yeah. Like we're talking about, this feels like maybe he got played from the jump pretty well. And it reminded me, I wanted to share this with the group because it reminded me of our earlier episode years back, even before we were doing strange news and listener mail segments on whether the FBI is manufacturing terrorists.
Yeah.
Remember that with the mosque where they tried to radicalize and make some guy went to a mosque, they tried to make him a terrorist through some undercover stuff, and then the mosque reported it to the FBI, who was running that same agent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Cause it sticks in your mind because it just feels like such a strange tactic. But I remember that also happening with what would be called white supremacist groups or like white nationalist groups, where somebody goes in and says, "Hey, I got a lot of explosives," and it's an FBI agent. And like, what happens if that FBI agent doesn't go in there and says, "Hey, I've got explosives"? Do they ever come up with that on their own?
Right. Especially consider, I mean, because at that point you'd be looking at some homemade stuff, or you'd be looking at a military supply chain, which is not impossible, unfortunately.
But you could track that stuff, right?
Maybe.
But at least coming, you know, if somebody's ordering a bunch of fertilizer and stuff, I'm assuming the Bureau is watching that stuff pretty closely.
Yeah. I mean, it's their job to do that, right? So this guy, I love that you're bringing up, well, I don't love it, but it's very accurate. They're bringing up white supremacist ideology. Skyler Phillippe came on to the FBI's grid, you know, cross the Five Eyes or the Eye of Sauron there because of comments online, because of associations with known white power groups, because of a manifesto that he shared in part with the undercover FBI agents who contacted him.
I love a good manifesto, guys. Just putting that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Hey, I've been writing this thing.
Hey,
I'd love to get some eyes on it.
You gotta have some craft, you know? I mean, I hate a snoozer of a manifesto. You know, put some heart into it.
Asking for notes on your manifesto.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
This guy had no OPSEC. We haven't read the manifesto in full at the time of this recording. I don't believe the full language has been released to the public, probably because he just got arrested and has not yet been convicted. He definitely did not vet the undercover agents who, this is the pickle of it. All right. So they find this guy, this young man, 24 years old again, and they have embedded undercover operatives who are befriending him, glad handing him and saying, "Hey, we love your writing. We have a couple of notes, but you know what would be dope? Tell us if you're actually planning to do something." And then this guy said, "Yeah, I am. I just need the following things." And then an undercover operative said, "That's interesting that you're looking for that, because it turns out maybe we can help you." So they got to the site of the power station where this guy's going to do the attack. And he was there with two undercover agents. And then they waited until they definitely saw, like, he thought it was real. Whether or not it was real is something that'll come to light later. He thought he really had a drone with these explosives. He's about to take it off, you know, hold my beer, watch this, guys. and fly it into this power station, which would have been terrible for Nashville. And then they arrested him. They let him get all the way to that point.
Clever or sloppy?
Well, like, think about the investigation. That's the best evidence you have. This guy thought he was doing the thing. But I didn't realize he was only 24 years old.
They had to show the intent, which, again, to previous conversations, is one of the difficult things to prove. Is this just an armchair internet troll? Is this an actionable threat?
Is this a political act, though, Ben?
It's a political act that the vast majority of Americans would not agree with
or understand.
Well, this guy's super into, you know, white supremacy and like the Nordic Odin myths, which are totally unrelated to white supremacy, by the way.
What does that have to do with power stations, though? Is he just trying to plunge us into a world of darkness? Like, is it prophecy, wish fulfillment? Like, what are we talking about?
The idea is chaos ensues if you've got darkness for an elongated period of time. I guess.
Yes, the idea is chaos.
But that affects the white people too, y'all. I don't understand. It just seems very misplaced, you know? I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm trying to identify with the motives of a seemingly mentally unwell person.
Well, it's interesting for that to be mentioned because it shows us the dearth of long-term planning for that kind of thing. Because a lot of times in these sorts of groups, the plan will be to create chaos and then know that your in-group can have their compound or their safe place for some sort of time. And then it's just, I don't know.
Well, yeah, is it creating a diversion where you then do a second thing, or is the first thing the only thing? You know what I mean?
That's interesting, too, because if you were operating in a domestic terrorism kind of apparatus, then you wouldn't want everybody to know what everybody else is doing. So maybe this kid was a pawn in a larger plot, which is quite possible. We know that bomb threats have been called in across multiple states in the U.S. quite recently, and a lot of those have been traced to, surprise, Russian email domains. This also comes from the FBI.
Also heard today, a little bit unrelated, but related, that there were some attempts at voter disruption or polling place disruption, calling in bomb threats that were traced back to Russian operatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we know is the FBI, in advance of this election, which was for any non-U.S. conspiracy realist, it kind of took over the news for a second. In advance of this election, for many different government positions, the most notable of one, which would be the president of the United States, the FBI said that there were bomb threats targeting polling sites in multiple states that appear to be, first, non-credible, but two, effective enough to interfere with the voting process, and three, pretty much coming from Russia. And this happens in step with weaponized social media and AI. It really, like, without getting too ideological, if we're talking about the operational aspect of this, we have to acknowledge that this kind of interference is going to continue, not just in the U.S., but across multiple countries in multiple ways. China's big in the game. We know a lot of the Russian money hasn't stopped in terms of, like, be concerned about elections in Central Europe, for instance, be concerned about elections in Latin America. These conspiracies are real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially given the regime change on the way here in the United States and, you know, the incoming president's relationship with Russia and the fact that they were often trying to prop him up and help out his cause. I do wonder if this relationship is going to be more one of foreign policy manipulation rather than stuff within the United States.
I wish we could just do that thing where everybody lets countries vote on their own. But then we see what happens in places like Venezuela, where, you know, maybe that's happening and it doesn't matter. I don't know.
I want more funny crime is the thing. Moving on.
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time. Here's a funny crime that I really liked. There were these hackers over in France just a few days ago who hacked Schneider Electric, a big electric company, energy company in France. And they stole something like 40 gigs of data from this engineering energy group. They penetrated what's called their JIRA system, J-I-R-A, might be familiar to a lot of us from back in the day. When they broke in, they said, all right, we're doing ransomware. This is a cyber heist. You have to give us a ransom, the equivalent of $125,000 in bum, bum, bum baguettes.
Like the bread? Or is this some currency that I'm not aware
of? Nope, it's the bread.
No 120. That's a lot of, now that while that is a lot of baguettes.
Hold on. Is this a language joke? Like, is it a joke?
I think it's for the lulz. I think they wanted actual baguettes. And they said, look, if you admit that we breached your system, then we're going to cut the ransom in half. If you go public, the ransom demand will be decreased, to $62,500 worth of baguettes. And credit where it is due. I would love to give a fantastic shout out to our pal Mark Tyson over at Tom's Hardware for the best line of this when he's talking about the proposed reduction in ransom for going public. He said, even with a 50% deduction, that's still a lot of dough.
Wow.
Get it? Because baguettes is bread. It's a bread joke.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Man. That's that's a lot. I don't think you could use that many baguettes without them getting stale. I think you'd run up against that problem. Yeah.
You'd have to do some crouton action.
Oh, that'd be good. You could toast them and you know, in giant, some sort of industrial kitchen situation. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps pass them out to like a Robin Hood type situation or a Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Ben, I just read the subtitle of that article. Can you read that?
Yes, thank you for pointing that out, Matt. Hand over the dough or your 40 gigabytes of secret data is toast.
Stand and deliver.
That's good.
And Tennessee Pal and Triforce, please give us some weird sound cues on that one.
Your baguettes are your life.
There's one last weird crime that we should talk about very briefly. It is conspiratorial. It is indeed strange news. If we travel over to Equatorial Guinea, we'll see that just yesterday, as we record, the government authorities have said they're going to install surveillance cameras in pretty much all the government offices in response to a sex scandal with a government official who slept with hundreds of people or slept with a bunch of people and recorded hundreds of sex videos. This is Baltasar Ebang Ingonga, the director of the country's National Financial Investigation Agency. Just got suspended. They found 400 sex videos of him and multiple women, some of them wives and relatives of other senior government officials.
Wow, this guy had the riz.
He had the riz and the goods. in terms of like using this as blackmail material, right? I would imagine.
Let's go to AP News. They're still pretty legit. By Emmanuel Tumanjong. Pardon my pronunciation there, Emmanuel. It's Tumanjong. reported from Cameroon. It looks like the investigators searched this guy's computer in Gonga as part of a probe into alleged corruption and embezzlement. And while they were looking for financial crime, they found this hoard of sexual content, more than 400 individual videos. Unfortunately, it was not clear at this time if the sexual activities were consensual. It is not clear at this time if any women depicted in these videos, because it was all him with women, had made formal complaints. This is incredibly chaotic news for Getty.
Because he's the National Financial Investigation Agency. So potentially, and this is full speculation on my part. Mm-hmm. He could be looking at, let's say, the husbands or the family members of some of these women and saying, hey, I've got dirt on you.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. And we also know, as this is still developing strange news, we also know that the prosecutor general, speaking in public about this, Anatolio Nzangema, said, quote, the authorities want to establish whether the man deliberately used these relationships to spread a possible disease among the population.
What?
Right.
Yikes.
Yeah. And okay. this is where we get the surveillance cameras. This is where we know that a lot of senior officials are incredibly upset. The vice president's office recently said this denigrated the image of the country. These videos also flooded social media. Telecom companies have been asked to, quote, curb the spread of this media. He is reportedly, to the question about Riz, he's reportedly nicknamed Bello or Bello, B-E-L-L-O, meaning beautiful.
For his
good looks. It's a rough one. It's also a scandal to the point where we don't know what the ultimate fallout would be. But I'm thinking it's something like, what if the head of the Federal Reserve got caught with all this stuff? You know, what would happen here in the States?
I don't know.
I have no idea. We are not, you know, none of us have been to Equatorial Guinea. We want to hear your questions if you are from this part of the world or have spent some time there, because it's such a red meat story whenever there are these sexual allegations that you have to always wonder about timing. You know what I mean? It takes a while to make hundreds of these videos, right?
I don't want to think about it.
I don't want to think about it either. But then the question is too, like, where was he storing them? Did he have like private servers? What was the tech? I mean, maybe I'm overthinking it, but like,
right,
what was his long game?
Is he cuckolding people just to be a jerk? You know what I mean? It reminds me of some allegations that came out with the recent Epstein recordings, which if you're not aware of, folks, a journalist named Wolf has recently released recordings with the disgraced financier and child abuser and sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein. And he got these recordings a few years back when he was interviewing Epstein about the subject of a book he wrote called Fire and Fury.
Dude, and just to take it back in our own episode and make it a nice little circle, cuckolding was one of the tactics that came forward that the FBI and other agencies used to infiltrate white supremacist groups and other, like, Black Panther movement and other things. Mm-hmm. They would do that on purpose.
Well, and I think I know this term, like, and as like a kink, you know, where someone wants to watch someone else have sex with their partner, but it's all consensual. What do you mean by cuckolding in this term, in this context? I don't think I understand.
In this case, like, just infiltrating a relationship, right? So that specifically your target, I don't know, is weakened in some way psychologically?
Well, not just weakened psychologically, but weakened operationally.
There you go.
It's kind of like the best way to learn a foreign language is to begin a romantic relationship with someone who speaks that language. The best way to learn the inner workings of someone, if you're targeting them, is to get an inner working source. And often that's someone in a romantic relationship with that person.
It's like one of the most devious things a human could do. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's also evil and psychologically damaging. Just be honest with people, you know. This is something that we're going to keep an eye on just to see if there is a conspiracy afoot, what happens next. You tell us, folks. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. We wish you the best of Novembers. We'll be back soon to follow up on this and many stories we didn't get to. In the meantime, tell us your thoughts, Peanut the Squirrel, other famous animals on social media. Let us know what you think about IKEA attempting to make good. Let us know other strange attacks on power stations that maybe haven't made the radar. And if you want to send us baguettes, We'd love to hear from you. We try to be easy to find on email, telephone, and oh, wait, the internet.
Baguettes or spaghettis, whatever you got. We'll take all of your delicious foods in the mail. You can find us all over the internet at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on X, FKA Twitter, on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, and on YouTube, where we have video content galore for you to enjoy. On Instagram and TikTok, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Guys, I saw a post on Instagram recently where it was somebody recounting a story from childhood when they went to an Italian restaurant with their family and the server came over and said, "Hey, what's your name?" And the kid just turns and says, "Call me Captain Ravioli."
Yeah.
And I just thought it was so delightful. Hey, we have a phone number. It's 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. So when you call in, you only got 3 minutes. Say whatever you'd like. Do include a cool nickname for yourself and let us know in the message if we can use your message and voice on the air. If you got more to say than can fit in a 3-minute voicemail, why not instead to send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive. Be well aware yet unafraid. Sometimes the void writes back. In the wake of Peanut the Squirrel, if you are looking for some other animals to check out on social media amid all the recent doom scrolling, I would highly recommend one of my favorite pieces of Chinese propaganda, Xing Xing, the One-Armed Monkey, spelled X-I-N-G, X-I-N-G. If you've got any other tips or if you want us to bestow a nickname upon you, then join us. Out here in the dark, we read every single letter we get. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Does money stress you out? Let Facet flip your financial chaos into clarity.
Finding Facet immediately put us at ease.
Facet's innovative approach to financial planning ensures your money works as hard as you do, enabling members to experience the joys of having your finances in order.
And that makes us Facet for life now, I guess.
Visit Facet.com, F-A-C-E-T.com to learn more.
This ad is sponsored by Facet. Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. This is not an offer to buy or sell securities, nor is it investment, legal, or tax advice. These testimonials are from current Facet members who are not compensated. All opinions are their own and not a guarantee of a similar outcome.
When you walk through our doors, your world expands. Your adventure begins with a spectacle of bioluminescent light, a symphony of shorebird sounds, or a touch of wonder as you hold a hermit crab in your palm. Every moment is filled with the promise of discovery as you become an advocate for the ocean. Book your tickets today. Monterey Bay Aquarium, inspiring conservation of the ocean. Visit montereybayaquarium.org/together.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play. Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Welcome to the world of Bose Ultra Open Earbuds, the perfect gift for the music lover in your life. Picture this, a walk on a sunny winter day. You can hear the satisfying crunch of snow beneath your feet and your favorite holiday song playing. That's the magic we're talking about. Hear life and music at the same time. Bose Ultra Open Earbuds. Own the gift game and go to Bose.com/iHeart to shop the best deals now.
Can Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, help if I have chronic migraine? 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more?
Botox prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. It's the number one prescribed branded chronic migraine treatment.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.